This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. We're starting this week's show at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Hartford, Connecticut. This is the sound from a video uploaded in June. It's the ordination of two priests. We're starting here because one of the biggest sports stories of the past decade actually prepared one of these men for the priesthood. Here's Only a Game's Martin Kessler.
On the night of February 17th, 2012, Anthony Federico was working his job at the ESPN headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut. Anthony was an editor for ESPN's mobile website. He was responsible for deciding what stories people would see if they went to ESPN on their phones. Around 2:30 the next morning, Anthony hit publish on a new headline.
A headline that I had used myself many times before and that sports media sites have been using for years. And about a half hour later, I realized that it had been going viral for the wrong reason. When I realized how the social media world was taking that headline, I got up from my desk and I went to the bathroom and I threw up several times because I was aghast and horrified at what was going down.
The headline was quickly changed. Anthony spoke to his boss, who tried to console him. But when Anthony left the office, he says he was still distraught. He drove to his parents' house
and woke them up maybe like 4:30 in the morning. And I told them what happened. And they were like, okay, this will blow over. And it did not.
That became clear a few hours later.
That same boss called me early in the morning and it's like, don't turn on your phone. Don't look at the web. Don't look at anything. It's bad. And I asked, how bad is it? And he said, it's bad.
Anthony Federico grew up outside New Haven, Connecticut.
I grew up in a big Italian-American family. I'm the oldest of five kids and the best-looking and the smartest and the most athletic of the five kids. No, I'm just kidding. And we grew up in a very culturally Catholic family.
Anthony loved sports. He swam and played tennis, baseball, and hockey. He went to Notre Dame High School, then Providence College, a Catholic university in Rhode Island.
A lot of guys growing up in Connecticut that are sports fans maybe have it in the back of their mind to work for ESPN someday.
So after graduating from Providence, Anthony got a job as a temp in ESPN's tape library. He'd go to a huge warehouse to track down videotapes for the different ESPN shows.
Put it in a basket of a bicycle because the warehouse was so big that I would ride this bicycle around, you know, getting all the different tapes that had been requested.
Then Anthony would return to the ESPN campus to deliver the tapes.
And it was cool because I got to meet a lot of different people all over ESPN's campus, and I was asking questions like, what do you do and what is your job like? And I made a lot of friends that way.
In 2007, after about 6 months working the tape library, 23-year-old Anthony Federico landed in that role as a content editor for ESPN's mobile website.
It was really cool. My job was to watch the night of sports unfold and kind of make editorial decisions in real time about what stories we're going to lead with, what angles we're going to promote.
And so you're writing the headlines and you're hitting publish. There wasn't like someone to look it over before it goes out there.
Yes. Yes. It's everything needs to happen 5 minutes ago, kind of sense of urgency, you know, deadline culture. And that was part of the draw of it, how exciting and fast paced my work was. And yeah, everything happens very quickly.
So jumping ahead a little bit, tell me,
sure,
what's going on in the sports world in early February of 2012?
The talk of the sports world was Jeremy Lin.
Lin to the basket, reverse slam, he puts it in!
The meteoric rise of Jeremy Lin from point guard at Harvard to catching on with the Knicks.
Lin puts it up, bang! Jeremy Lin from downtown!
And leading the Knicks on a winning streak that had the sports world buzzing. I believe he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated 2 issues in a row.
How could this guy go undrafted in the NBA? How could he get cut by 2 teams this year?
From bench warmer to big star overnight, New York.
He's a devout Christian.
The only Asian-American player in the league.
For Anthony Federico, Lin's sanity wasn't just a great story. The Knicks had always been his favorite team.
It was exciting.
And that brings us back to the night of February 17th, 2012. Anthony was at his desk at ESPN, and Jeremy Lin and the Knicks were playing the New Orleans Hornets.
and he played poorly.
He had 9 turnovers in this game, but he did.
And the Knicks lost.
The winning streak is over for Jeremy Lin.
And at 2:30 in the morning, I wrote a headline to reflect his first display of weakness as a starter for the Knicks. And I wrote the headline, "Chink in the Armor."
This was the headline that went viral, that sent Anthony into the bathroom to throw up.
I was shocked that people were misinterpreting this headline as a racial slur and not as an expression to describe, you know, his first display of weakness.
Anthony would later say the headline was a lapse in judgment and an awful editorial omission. When Anthony woke up a few hours after the headline was published, the story was all over the internet.
My name and address got leaked to the media, so the paparazzi started following me around and started getting hate mail and death threats from all over the world, and a lot of the late-night talk shows were roasting me, and, you know, my face was on a lot of newspapers, and I was this big racist villain. It was brutal.
And how did you come to learn that you'd been fired?
I was fired via conference call 3 or 4 days later.
Wow. Do you remember what was said during that conference call?
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay. Did you feel like you should have been fired?
I appreciate that that was a headline that I should have foreseen the consequences to. And I would have loved to have been defended that I was a good employee for a number of years and that everyone who knew me at the company spoke very highly of my character.
So what happened next for you?
Yeah, those were the worst 30 days of my life. I filed for unemployment, which is humbling. My family was great. My close friends were great. I started looking for work, but I was, as you might imagine, pretty toxic in the sports media industry. I thought that I didn't deserve what happened to me, and I blamed God for that. And I thought about killing myself several times. And then Jeremy Lin himself reached out to me. I got an email from his cousin. It was polite and gracious, and it was just, when they get back from their next road trip, he'd like to meet you in Manhattan for lunch. And at first I was like, yeah, right. Just some prankster having fun with me.
But Anthony checked it out. The invitation was real. Heading into the lunch with Jeremy Lin, Anthony was nervous. He didn't need to be.
He told me that he didn't think that the headline was racial in intent, and that was so huge to hear him. I'm eternally grateful to him for his kindness. So we talked about the headline for a few minutes, and then we talked mostly about the world and our faith.
Do you view that as like a turning point, at least for your mental health and well-being?
Very much so. I felt like that was a moment of, wow, he didn't have to do this. In fact, it probably would have been easier for him to just let it go. That is the kind of gesture that someone doesn't forget.
Around that same time, Anthony landed a new job with a sports media startup in Stamford, Connecticut. He says it felt like now his life could start over again.
Oh, it was such relief.
During his lunch breaks, Anthony started going on walks around Stamford.
On one of my walks, I happened upon a Catholic church, a busy basilica in the middle of downtown Stamford that was having Mass during the day. And I didn't even know that Catholics go to Mass on weekdays and not just on Sundays. But the doors were open. I could see them going to church on there. And, oh, maybe that could be cool, but nah, I'm not that kind of guy. So on the first day, I go past it, and second day, I go past it, and how biblical. On the third day, I decide I'm going to go to church in the middle of the afternoon on a Wednesday, and I went into this 12:10 Mass. The regulars kind of called it the suit and tie Mass because all the businessmen and women would leave their offices and come to Mass on their lunch break, and I started going to Mass every day on my lunch break, and it's this oasis of stillness and silence and ritual, and it was just such a sharp contrast that it called to me.
Anthony noticed that every day before Mass, the priest would hear confession.
And often the line was so long for people going to confession that the priest would have to apologize to the five or six people still waiting in line because he had to run up and start the Mass on time. And every day I would see on this priest's face this, like, anguish. So I was watching him one day and I said, "Lord, if only we had more priests, we could have two lines of confession going at, oh, if only we had more priests."
Anthony says that as a kid, people had told him he should grow up to be a priest, but he hadn't really taken the idea seriously until now.
I applied to be a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Hartford, Connecticut, and I was accepted. I thought I would go to seminary for 1 month and hate it, but I was there for 6 years, and I've never been happier. And then just last June 22nd, I was ordained a priest of Jesus Christ for the Catholic Church.
How do you think this awful experience you had with, you know, social media outrage and facing death threats and all that, how do you think that will shape you as a priest?
I think a sense of sympathy for what people are going through and how everyone has a story that goes deeper than their worst moment or one thing they put out on the internet. And I have a sense of what it's like to be angry at God in this big way, and I can relate to them when they bring me their struggles and their hopes and their dreams and their fears. And I think that that feeling of being abandoned by God was part of this whole process of preparing me for priesthood.
Father Anthony Federico is now assigned to St. Bridget of Sweden Parish in Cheshire, Connecticut. He says he still avidly follows the Yankees and Knicks. And how much do you follow Jeremy Lin's career at this point?
Yeah, I would say casually, but with interest when his name does come up. I said a prayer for him recently when he was kind of public about his free agency situation.
Back in July, Lin, who since that incredible two-week stretch with the Knicks in 2012 has struggled with injuries and bounced around to six different NBA teams, spoke on a Christian TV station in Taiwan. Lin was crying as he said, "Rock bottom just seems to keep getting more and more rock bottom for me. I feel like in some ways the NBA has kind of given up on me."
I hope he finds whatever it is he's looking for as well.
Have you been in touch with him at all since your lunch?
I have not.
I hope you guys can reconnect at some point.
Yeah, that would be cool. I feel like God knows what his schedule's like, but as a priest, my priority is my people and my parish, and if it ever worked out that we could get together, that would be great. And if not, that's cool too, because I have such great affection for him.
That story was from Only a Game's Martin Kessler. Jeremy Lin now plays in the Chinese Basketball Association.